Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Hour of the Time with your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona. Now, I'd like to thank you for listening this evening, and you can thank yourself for what you're about to learn. And I'd suggest highly you take lots of notes. If you don't, you may not get this information again for a while. Now, tonight is the 2nd of February, 2010. Tuesday, and we have a offer. We got some help on this from a wonderful gentleman, Mr. Hammond. And if you email me at hourthetime@hotmail.com this evening, while the broadcast is live, Tuesday, the 2nd of February, 2010, I'll send you a bunch of information. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, now to the cursory items. If you'd like to write the Hour of the Time, you may do so by writing Hour of the Time, or HOT, H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. Again, that's Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. The website, hourofthetime.com, that's hourofthetime.com. The studio number, 928-333-2942. That's 928-333-2942. My personal email address again, hourofthetime@hotmail.com. The studio number in Canada, 613-733-4324. 613-733-4324. Now, ladies and gentlemen, a few quick cursory reminders. We are listener supported, and without your generous support in the form of donations, either outright, but even more preferably for research materials, go to our website, hourofthetime.com, and simply go to the Hot Shop. There you can donate for MP3 bundles, individual broadcast, written format material, DVD presentations, and through your support, through the donation of research materials, Hour of the Time can expand its operation, bring you more services, more broadcasting, more items. So just something to think about, ladies and gentlemen. We're listener-supported, no corporate gigs here, telling us what we can and can't say, advertising ludicrously overpriced solar generators, as they're called, that are an absolute rip-off scam, and so is anybody allowing those banners all over their website. We do it ourselves, ladies and gentlemen. That's the freedom spirit. Now, after this musical break here, which is a time for you to get your notes ready, get ready to take notes, so if you don't have it ready yet, you always should with Hour of the Time. Get some paper, pen, pencil, what have you, something to eat or drink, and be ready for a bunch of information tonight. Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona, with the Hour of the Time. Tonight, 2nd of February 2010, Tuesday, and Mr. Jeremy Hammond wrote a piece, and it's rather ironic. I'm not saying he copied me or anything. Don't even take it out of context. It's just that about, 4.5 to 5 years ago, I personally did a broadcast on the Zionist country of Israel and its continual violations of UN Security Council resolutions. Now, I could care less what the UN thinks and think it should just be abolished. That will never happen. It is part of the plan, ladies and gentlemen. It would be nice at least if the U.S. would withdraw, but that probably will never happen either. But the reason I did the broadcast 4.5, 5 years ago or so was because Israel is one of the first ones to jump up and scream and cry wanting UN sanctions against this neighbor or that neighbor, UN resolutions about this and that in their favor. But they seem, based on research, to hold the record for violating UN Security Council resolutions, the Zionist controlled government. So I'm going to read from this piece that's brand new that Mr. Hammond wrote, documenting just much the same I did 4.5 or 5 years ago. And he's also got newer stuff from the last 4.5 or 5 years, updates, if you will. So really, this is a updated version of an older broadcast I did, of course, new and live tonight. But I thought it very worthy, looking at all the issues and everywhere between secret Mossad and CIA meetings, or tried to do them in secret. They weren't very secret. Yemen, the escalation of special operations troops in that region, and our absolutely worthless commander-in-chief, if you will, that can't seem to do anything over there, or actually anything anywhere, except for travel around and spend money. So, not that the Middle East needs to be watched 24/7, because that gets old too. There's a lot of topics right here in our shores. That's why we cover them predominantly here at Hour of the Time, because we are solution-oriented. Anybody can just report news and bitch and bellyache to the choir like most of the chalk show hosts out there. Hour of the Time offers solution-based programming, but this piece that's newly written is so intriguing because of my broadcast a few years ago, I couldn't help but use it on the air. And Mr. Hammond, of course, full credit to him, out of the Foreign Policy Journal. Dang it, I almost forgot there. Foreign Policy Journal. I apologize, Mr. Hammond. But what this is a list, again, the United Nations Security Council resolutions directly critical of Israel for violating of their own resolutions, UN charters, Geneva Conventions, international terrorism, or other violations of so-called international law. The very country that holds the record, based on all the research I've been able to do, categorically taking a country and its violations, that screams the loudest and screams first, wanting all the resolutions to back them up when it favors them. Resolution 57, September 18, 1948, expresses deep shock at the assassination of the UN mediator in Palestine, Count Folke Bernardo, by Zionist terrorist. Resolution 89, November 17, 1950, requests that attention be given to the expulsion of thousands of Palestinian Arabs and calls upon concerned governments to take no further action, quote, involving the transfer of persons across international frontiers or armistice lines, end quote, and notes that Israel announced that it would withdraw to the armistice lines. Resolution 93, May 18, 1951, finds that Israeli airstrikes on Syria on April 5, 1951, constitutes, quote, a violation of the ceasefire, end quote, and decides that Arab civilians expelled from the demilitarized zone by Israel should be allowed to return. Resolution 100, October 27, 1953. Notes that Israel had said it would stop work it started in the demilitarized zone on September 2, 1953. Resolution 101, November 24, 1953, finds Israel's attack on Libya and Jordan on October 14 through the 15th, 1953, to be a violation of the ceasefire and, quote, expresses the strongest censure of that action, end quote. Resolution 106, March 29, 1955, condemns Israel's attack on Egyptian forces in the Gaza Strip on February 28, 1955. Resolution 111, January 19, 1956, condemns Israel's attack on Syria on December 11, 1955 as, quote, a flagrant violation of the ceasefire, end quote, and armistice agreement. Resolution 119, October 31, 1956, considers that, quote, a grave situation has been created, end quote, by the attack against Egypt by the forces of Britain, France, and Israel. Resolution 171, April 9, 1962, reaffirms Resolution 111 and determines that Israel's attack on Syria on March 16 through 17, 1962, quote, constitutes a flagrant violation of that resolution, end quote. Resolution 228, November 25, 1966. Quote, deplores the loss of life and heavy damage to property resulting from the action, end quote, by Israel in the southern Hebron area on November 13, 1966. End quote, censors Israel for this large-scale military action in violation of the United Nations Charter, end quote, and the armistice agreement between Israel and Jordan. Resolution 237, June 14, 1967, calls on Israel, quote, to ensure the safety, welfare, and security of the inhabitants where military operations have taken place during the war launched on Israel by Israel, excuse me, on June 5, 1967, and to facilitate the return of those inhabitants who have fled the areas since the outbreak of hostilities, end quote. Resolution 242. That's Resolution 242. November 22, 1967. Emphasizes, quote, the inadmissibility, of the acquisition of territory by war. Emphasizes the inadmissibility of the acquisition of territory by war. Emphasizes that member states have a commitment to abide by the UN Charter and calls for the, quote, withdrawal of Israeli armed forces from territories occupied, end quote, during the June 1967 war. Resolution 248, March 24, 1968, observes that the Israeli attack on Jordan, quote, was of a large-scale and carefully planned nature, deplores the loss of life and heavy damage to property, condemns the military action launched by Israel in flagrant violation of the United Nations Charter, and the ceasefire resolutions, and calls upon Israel to desist from further violations of Resolution 237, end quote. Resolution 250, April 27, 1968, considers, quote, that the holding of a military parade in Jerusalem will aggravate tensions in the area and have an adverse effect on a peaceful settlement of the problems in the area, and calls upon Israel to refrain from holding the military parade in Jerusalem, which is contemplated for May 2, 1968. Resolution 251, May 2, 1968, recalls Resolution 250 and, quote, deeply deplores the holding by Israel of the military parade in Jerusalem on May 2, 1968, in disregard of Resolution 250. Resolution 252, May 21, 1968. Quote, deplores the failure of Israel to comply with General Assembly Resolutions 2253 and 2254, considers Israel's annexation of Jerusalem invalid, and calls upon Israel to rescind all such measures already taken and to desist forthwith from taking any further action which tends to change the status of Jerusalem, end quote. Resolution 256, August 16, 1968, recalls Israel's, quote, flagrant violations of the United Nations Charter, end quote, condemned in Resolution 248, observes that further Israeli airstrikes on Jordan, quote, were of a large scale and carefully planned nature in violation of Resolution 248, deplores the loss of life and heavy damage to property, and condemns Israel's attacks. Resolution 259, September 27, 1968, expresses concern for, quote, the safety, welfare, and security of the Palestinians under military occupation by Israel, deplores the delay in the implementation of Resolution 237 of 1967 because of the conditions still being set by Israel for receiving a special representative of the Security General, and request Israel to receive the special representative and facilitate his work. Resolution 262, December 31st, 1968, observes, quote, that the military action by the armed forces of Israel against the civil international airport of Beirut was premeditated and of a large scale and carefully planned nature, end quote, and condemns Israel for the attack. Resolution 265, April 1st, 1969, expresses, quote, deep concern that the recent attacks on Jordanian villages and other populated areas were of a pre-planned nature in violations of Resolutions 248 and 256, deplores the loss of civilian life and damage to property, and condemns the recent premeditated air attacks launched by Israel on Jordanian villages and populated areas in flagrant violation of the United Nations Charter and the ceasefire resolutions, end quote. Resolution 267, July 3rd, 1969, Recalls Resolution 252 and General Assembly Resolutions 2253 and 2254, noting that, quote, since the adoption of the above-mentioned resolutions, Israel has taken further measures tending to change the status of the city of Jerusalem. The established principle that acquisition of territory by military conquest is inadmissible deplores the failure of Israel to show any regard for the resolutions, censors in the strongest terms all measures taken to change the status of the city of Jerusalem, confirms that all legislative and administrative measures and actions taken by Israel which purport to alter the status of Jerusalem, including expropriation of land and properties thereon, are invalid and cannot change that status, end quote, and urgently calls on Israel to rescind the measures taken to annex Jerusalem. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I know I've been kind of skating along for the numbers, so after this musical break, I need to get a drink of water here. I will slow it down a bit. That should make it a little easier for you. And we'll continue on with the next resolution in this long list of Zionist violations. Ladies and gentlemen, again, your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona, with the hour of the time. Tonight, and our offer for material is valid tonight, while this broadcast is live, the 2nd of February, 2010, Tuesday, with Zionist Violations is the name of tonight's broadcast, and it hopefully will give you all something to ponder, ladies and gentlemen, because I am reading from Mr. Hammond of the Foreign Policy Journal's article he recently did, And it's very similar, very, very similar to a broadcast I did 4.5 or 5 years ago, I guess it was. And I just want you to do some research, ladies and gentlemen. Being that the UN was founded by and for mystics, communists, Zionist, socialist, world government proponents, and being that one of the first things they did was recognize the state of Israel and whatever they decided to take as theirs, and being that they seem to go also, as in Israel, unpunished for flagrant mass violations, and it seems also to be Zionist based, then who is really in charge? Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to believe me or Mr. Hammond. I really could care less. I'll get hate mail either way this evening, so, and I'll read it. I'm used to that. But what I ask you to do, ladies and gentlemen, is pull the wool from your over your eyes and do a little checking. Now, to continue on, ladies and gentlemen, Resolution 270, August 26, 1969, quote, condemns the premeditated air attack by Israel on villages in southern Lebanon in violation of its obligations under the Charter and Security Council resolutions. End quote. Resolution 271, September 15, 1969, expresses grief, quote, at the extensive damage caused by arson to the Holy Al-Aqsa Mosque, excuse me, in Jerusalem, end quote, on August 24th, 1969. Quote, under the military occupation of Israel, and reaffirms the established principle that acquisition of territory by military conquest is inadmissible. Quote, determines that the execrable act of desecration and profanation of the Holy Al-Aqsa Mosque emphasizes the immediate necessity of Israel's desisting from acting in violation of previous resolutions and rescinding measures to annex Jerusalem, and calls on Israel, quote, to observe the provisions of the Geneva Conventions and international law governing military occupation, end quote, and condemns Israel's failure to comply with previous resolutions. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I remember, as soon as Saddam, for instance, after Desert Storm violated UN resolutions, or Gaddafi, they were airstruck. Or sanctions and embargoes were placed upon a country of people, not just against Saddam, a whole country. So we have already a huge list, and we're only to September 15th, 1969. Resolution 279er. May 12, 1970, demands the immediate withdrawal of all Israeli armed forces from Lebanese territory. Resolution 280, May 19, 1970, expresses conviction that, quote, that the Israeli military attack against Lebanon was premeditated and of a large scale and carefully planned in nature, end quote, and recalls Resolution 279er, quote, demanding the immediate withdrawal of all Israeli armed forces from Lebanese territory, end quote. It deplores Israel's violations of Resolutions 262 and 270, quoting, condemns Israel for its premeditated military actions in violation of its obligations under the Charter of the United Nations, and deplores the loss of life and damage to property inflicted as a result, in quote, of Israel violations of Security Council resolutions. Resolution 285, September 5th, 1970, quote, demands the complete and immediate withdrawal of all Israeli armed forces from Lebanese territory, end quote. That's an easy one to quote from, so let's do it again. Resolution 285, September 5th, 1970, quote, demands the complete and immediate withdrawal of all Israeli armed forces from Lebanese territory, end quote. Pretty simple. Resolution 298, September 25th, 1971, recalls Resolutions 252 and 267 and General Assembly Resolutions 2253 and 2254 concerning Israel's measures to annex Jerusalem, reaffirms, quote, the principle that acquisition of territory by military conquest is inadmissible, end quote, notes, quote, the noncompliance by Israel, end quote, of the recalled resolutions deplores Israel's failure to respect the resolutions, confirms that Israel's actions, quote, are totally invalid, end quote, and urgently calls on Israel to rescind its measures and take, quote, no further steps in the occupied section of Jerusalem, end quote, to change the status of the city. Resolution 313, February 28, 1972, demands that Israel immediately desist and refrain from any ground and military action against Lebanon and forthwith withdraw all its military forces from Lebanese territory, end quote. Resolution 316, June 26, 1972, deplores, quote, the tragic loss of life resulting from all acts of violence, end quote, expresses grave concern, quote, at Israel's failure to comply with Security Council Resolutions 262, 270, 280, 285, and 313, calling on Israel to desist forthwith from any violation of the sovereignty and territorial integrity of Lebanon, end quote. Calls on Israel to abide by the resolutions and condemns, quote, the repeated attacks of Israeli forces on Lebanese territory and population in violation of the principles of the Charter of the United Nations and Israel's obligations thereunder, end quote. Resolution 317, July 21st, 1972. Notes Resolution 316 deplores the fact that Israel had not yet released, quote, Syrian and Lebanese military and security personnel abducted by Israeli armed forces from Lebanese territory, end quote. On June 21, 1972, and calls on Israel to release the prisoners. Resolution 332, April 21, 1972, quote, condemns the repeated military attacks conducted by Israel against Lebanon in Israel's violation of Lebanon's territorial integrity and sovereignty, end quote, in violation of the UN Charter the Armistice Agreement, and ceasefire resolutions. Resolution 337, August 15, 1972. Notes, quote, the violation of Lebanon's sovereignty and territorial integrity by Israel and the hijacking by the Israeli Air Force of a Lebanese civilian airliner on lease to Iraqi Airways, end quote, expresses grave concern, quote, that such an act carried out by Israel, a member of the United Nations, constitutes a serious interference with international civil aviation and a violation of the Charter of the United Nations, end quote, recognizes, quote, that such an act could jeopardize the lives and safety of passengers and crew and violates the provisions of international conventions safeguarding civil aviation, end quote, condemns Israel for, quote, violating Lebanon's sovereignty and territorial integrity and for the forcible diversion and seizure by the Israeli Air Force of a Lebanese airliner from Lebanon's airspace, end quote, and considers that Israel actions constitute a violation of the Armistice Agreement, ceasefire resolutions, the UN Charter, and, quote, the International Conventions on Civil Aviation and the Principles of International Law and Morality. Now, ladies and gentlemen, again, I have to ask you, since I know the hate mail's coming anyway, let's pose some more questions, some hypothesis, if you will, for you to ponder. Being that we have a United Nations whose first major action, besides being founded by and for mainly communist, socialist, and Zionist, was the recognition of Israel as a state and Israel as official member, and there's a flagrant trail of violations here. Again, who controls who, ladies and gentlemen? Who controls the United Nations, and for what purpose? Ask yourself. And while we're on that one, do you think that the current state of Israel, as in its surveyed and acknowledged and recognized territorial boundaries by the United Nations, which they're always crying to for help and for self-serving resolutions, do you think that the current state of Israel and its territorial boundaries as observed is the God-chosen country of Israel? These are all questions for you to ponder and get mad at me about. Whatever. It's up to you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Resolution 347, April 24th, 1974, quote, condemns Israel's violation of Lebanon's territorial integrity and sovereignty and calls once more on the government of Israel to refrain from further military actions and threats against Lebanon, end quote, and calls on Israel, quote, to release and return to Lebanon the abducted Lebanese civilians, end quote. Resolution 425, March 19th, 1978, quote, calls for strict respect for the territorial integrity, sovereignty, and political independence of Lebanon within its internationally recognized boundaries, and calls upon Israel immediately to cease its military action against Lebanese territorial integrity and withdraw forthwith its forces from all Lebanese territory, end quote. Resolution 427, May 3rd, 1978, calls upon Israel to complete its withdrawal from all Lebanese territory without any further delay. End quote. That's a short one. Let's do it again. Resolution 427, dated May 3rd, 1978, calls upon Israel to complete its withdrawal from all Lebanese territory without any further delay. End quote. 1978, ladies and gentlemen. In case you didn't catch that. Resolution 446. March 22nd, 1979, affirms, quote, once more that the Fourth Geneva Convention is applicable to the Arab territories occupied by Israel since 1967, including Jerusalem, determines that the policy and practices of Israel in establishing settlements in the Palestinian and other Arab territories occupied since 1967 have no legal validity and constitute a serious obstruction to achieving a comprehensive, just, and lasting peace in the Middle East. Strongly deplores the failure of Israel to abide by Resolutions 237, 252, and 298, and General Assembly Resolutions 2253 and 2254, and calls on Israel as the occupying power to abide by the Fourth Geneva Convention, to rescind its previous measures, and to desist from any action which would result in changing the legal status and geographical nature and materially affecting the demographic composition of the Arab territories occupied since 1967, including Jerusalem, and in particular, not to transfer parts of its own civilian population into the occupied Arab territories.
Thank you.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, again, your host here, Doyle Shamley and Eager, Arizona with the Hour of the Time. The website, hourofthetime.com. The mailing address, Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona 85925. The studio number in Arizona, 928-333-2942. The studio in Canada, 613-733-4324. And my personal email address, hourofthetime@hotmail.com. hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to give a thanks out there to those of you who have observed my request on the broadcast over the last month and a half to please slow down the what became nuisance, continual phone messages when I'm not in the studio. Your compliance, if you will, I don't know what else to say, with my request to be thorough but short, with your name and a contact number if I'm not answering, in the phone messages and in the emails, has eased up the load here, and I greatly appreciate it. Thank you very much for listening, ladies and gentlemen, not just hearing, but listening. It has helped tremendously. I am averaging now, as of tonight, the 2nd of February 2010, 143 personalized responses a day I answer in email alone. Just email, not messages, not written letters. So, it's been a great relief, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. And don't forget, we are listener supported. And we also have some really good trick programming and interviews this week. So be sure to tune in every night to the Hour of the Time. And we also started a new program for those of you who maybe because of work schedules, family commitments, traveling for work, what have you, have a hard time catching the newest broadcast every evening on the Hour of the Time. But you need to send feedback to myself and Robert Houghton, the co-host and webmaster, about this. And that is rerunning of all the week's previous new programming, solid, like a 10-hour solid block of all new stuff, back-to-back on Saturday and back-to-back on Sunday. If that's something that is agreeable and helpful to you, let us know. But again, two really good interviews coming up this week. And of course, more great live programming tomorrow night from myself. Rob is actually handling the next two interviews. Thank you, Rob. I got myself neck deep in a project that is over my head. So he's bailing me out again. Now I want to go back to that resolution 446 of March 22nd, 1979, to some parts that I already read to you on the air. Now they asked to Israel to abide by the Fourth Geneva Convention, to quote, rescind its previous measures and to desist from any action which would result in changing the legal status and geographical nature and materially affecting the demographic composition of the Arab territories occupied since 1967, including Jerusalem, and in particular, not to transfer parts of its own civilian population into the occupied Arab territories, end quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, again, I ask you to ponder those questions I brought up, those points earlier for you to ponder. It's kind of a chicken and the egg scenario. Did the Zionist create the UN? to run watchdog for their baby state? Or did their baby state get created by the UN and then taken over to turn around and run scrimmage for them? Think about it, ladies and gentlemen. Look at your history. Resolution 450, June 14th, 1979, quote, strongly deplores acts of violence against Lebanon that have led to the displacement of civilians, including Palestinians, and brought about destruction and loss of innocent lives, end quote, and calls on Israel to cease actions against Lebanon, quote, in particular, its incursions into Lebanon and the assistance it continues to lend to irresponsible armed groups, end quote. Resolution 452, July 20th, 1979, strongly deplores, quote, the lack of cooperation of Israel, end quote, with the Security Council Commission, quote, established under Resolution 446 of 1979 to examine the situation relating to settlements in the Arab territories occupied since 1967, including Jerusalem, and considers that the policy of Israel in establishing settlements in the occupied Arab territories has no legal validity and constitutes a violation of the Fourth Geneva Convention, end quote. And the same resolution, 452, of July 20th, 1979, goes on to express deep concern at Israel's policy of constructing settlements, quote, in the occupied Arab territories, including Jerusalem, and its consequences for the local Arab and Palestinian population, end quote, and calls on Israel to cease such activities. Resolution 465, March 1st, 1980, strongly deplores Israel's refusal to cooperate with the Security Council Commission, regrets Israel's, quote, formal rejection of, end quote, resolutions 446 and 452, deplores Israel's decision, quote, to officially support Israeli settlement in the occupied territories, expressing deep concern over Israel's settlement policy, quote, and its consequences for the local Arab and Palestinian population, strongly deplores the decision of Israel to prohibit the free travel of the mayor of Hebron to appear before the Security Council, and determines that all measures taken by Israel to change the physical character, demographic composition, institutional structure, or status of the Palestinian and other Arab territories occupied since 1967, including Jerusalem, or any part thereof, have no legal validity, and that Israel's policy and practices of settling parts of its population and new immigrants in those territories constitute a flagrant violation of the Fourth Geneva Convention, end quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I know that was a lot to write down. Email me tonight why the show is live. I've offered you plenty of times now. Tonight, Tuesday, February 2nd, 2010, for some detailed information on this topic. I want to thank you for tuning in, and be sure to tune in tomorrow evening and every evening for wonderful solution-oriented broadcasting from the Hour of the Time and our website, hourofthetime.com. I hope everyone has a safe and a studious evening, and God bless each and every one of you.